Is everything all right there? ULP. Is everything okay? Does anybody have an exclamation for...
Kilo Oscar 4, Victor Delta X-ray here. Sounds to me like a Alfing type siren, so I'm sure it was just somebody messing around with the radio or something.
ULP. So I guess you also heard it, so I'll just probably keep my radio just to stand by, you know, just in case anything does happen.
Sounds good. I looked up your call sign on QRZ, just not doing much here in the shack tonight, and I see you're a technician. I'm a technician too. I don't get a chance to talk to many techs. Most people I talk to have QSOs with or generals and extras. Name here is Cade. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I saw your license last February or something like that. So really cool. I was licensed in December, so nice to talk to another tech. I don't get to do that too often, as I said.
Licensed in February, that would be mistaken. I was licensed in November. I took my test in November the 3rd.
Just to be clear, there's a pretty good chance I got the call wrong. Is it Kilo Oscar 4 Lima Uniform Papa? KO4LUP?
Negative. It is KO4ULP. Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Lima Papa.
There we go. It's coming up now as a as licensed in November. My mistakes, but as I said, it's nice to talk to another tech. Sounds like another younger operator. I'm 19 years old. I'm a freshman over at Clemson. So again, didn't have much to react to about. Just thought I'd come back. I heard the siren too, which was a little weird. Sounded like somebody playing with a Baofeng or something, as they do, unfortunately. But anyway, this is KO4 VDX here.
Hey, talking with you. Yeah, I'm 13. I haven't had my license very long, but you know, I eventually plan to upgrade to my general. Have you played around with HF any?
Have as you know, the technicians actually do have some pretty limited privileges on HF. I think I know on 40 meters, also 3 megahertz and 20 meters, or yeah, 20 meters. I guess it is voice and single sideband. Or phone and single sideband, sorry. So I have played around with HF. I'm actually sitting next to my Zygo G90. I have it hooked up to a infed long wire. I make a few contacts here and there, do some soda activations and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I have played around with HF a little bit. How about you?
I think it was Thursday or Friday I got an HF antenna set up outside, and and I have my HF rig here, but I haven't heard that I have privileges on 20 meters. I thought I only, as a technician, only have privileges on 10 meters.
Yeah, that's just my memory. I basically only do exclusively 40, so 40 is definitely my favorite band, but I'm signed up to take my technician on the, or take my upgraded general on the first Saturday of February, so excited for that. Hopefully, I've been studying for extra two. I think I'll take a crack at extra two just to see how I can do with that. But yeah, 40 for sure. I do a lot of CW. I studied CW before I even got my license, just because I knew techs had some HF privileges on 40 CW only. So, like I said, I do a few just some free CW contacts. I haven't gotten out very far. I mean, 20 watts is technically QRP, I guess. I think the farthest I've ever had a QSO was Kansas, upstate New York. between upstate New York or Kansas would probably be my furthest QSO so far, in just probably the past 2 or 3 weeks.
To, you know, upgrade to my general and play around more with HF. I haven't gotten anybody on HF yet, you know, but I probably need to ground my rig because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be beneficial as far as you getting out. What kind of HF rig are you running?
A classic rig. It is a Tentec.
Very cool. I always love to hear from techs who are on HF, I think. I mean, I don't really know. You sound, of course, you sound really well informed, but seems like a lot of techs I talk to don't seem to. A lot of them don't even know they have privileges on HF. Not that most of them have HF rigs, but you know, the fact still stands that techs do have some limited HF privileges. So, I mean, I find operating CW really just like gets to the heart of the radio hobby in general, and I've always just really enjoyed CW over phone or single sideband or anything else.
You know, probably plan to learn a CW probably after I get my extra, and you know, just maybe if I can learn it, play around with it.
It's I mean, I guess it's different for everybody, but just, I think for me, probably getting up to, I mean, I'm slow, like, but let's not mess around here. I'm not fast on CW at all. I might be 15 words a minute on a good day. I mean, CQ plus my call sign, I mean, I could do that at 20 or 25, but, you know, I just... Actually, just carrying on a QSO other than calling CQ is really slow. 13, 15 words per minute, probably. One service I use a lot for HF when I was testing my antenna setup was the Reverse Beacon Network. It's a fantastic resource for figuring out how far you're getting. Yeah, so when I was setting up the long wire, I was... trying to figure out how far out I was getting and everything before I started making QSOs, and it's great to just be able to call CQ real quick, and when you get a call back, it doesn't really matter, because the reverse beacon network just picks it up automatically and gives you a location at certain spotting stations. I get up into the Northeast really consistently, for sure. Which is interesting, though, because I'm running inverted V, and it's actually angled west, really. So I'm really hoping to get a beam soon. I have a neighbor with an old tower that he said he'd sell me. It was a property was passed down from his grandparents' parents. So I guess that'd be his great grandparents. So he said he'd sell me the tower, but. Yeah, to get a Yagi up there or something, especially with a rotor, would be just outstanding. KO4BDX for ID.
KQLP for station ID. Yeah, that would be pretty nice to have a tower. Right now, just working off from my antennas on the roof, which is about 30 feet up.
Curiosity, do you have, well, I guess a few questions. Do you have a dedicated shack, or are you running antennas on the side of the house where you're at, or what? Because I'm fortunate. I had an old barn on our property that had a little side room, and so on the peak of the barn, I put up, Tram dual band VHF, UHF antenna at about 25, 30 feet, probably. So, yeah, I'm getting out pretty good, and you're definitely 5'9", for sure. I mean, just clear as crystal from where I'm at. QTH for me is in Traveler's Rest.
In Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, and I do have a designated shack. You know, it's It's in our upstairs, and, you know, I've had a little desk, L desk set up, and, you know, it's not necessarily the nicest, well, it's not, you know, a wonderful shack, but yet it serves the purpose, you know. It's not necessarily like a closed and secluded room, but, you know, that doesn't really bother me too much because I don't, you know, disturb the people who are downstairs in the living room, you know, it just works out nicely, and then I don't need much coaxial cable to run to my antennas. I have a 6-foot J-pole antenna on the peak of our roof, and I only need 18 feet of coaxial cable to run to it.
KB4CBA.
For CBA, this is Kilo Oscar 4, Victor Delta X-ray, go ahead.
Kilo Oscar 4. Oh man, now I can't remember your suffix. Oh man, I was wanting to ask Alexander a question. If you don't mind, Alexander, you have a 10-meter beam.
I have a 10-meter beam antenna. It's just, when I have my 10-meter antenna, somebody else made it for me. It's pretty much, like a box and then, like, two wires, like, running off of it. You know, just like a regular 10-meter antenna.
Find me again. That went right over my head.
I think it's pretty much a regular HF antenna. Pretty much is like a small plastic box with like a, and then two wires running off from it. And then, you know, you can attach your coaxial cable at the bottom of it. And yeah, I just have that on the roof right now.
Is it directional or omnidirectional?
I believe that it is a directional antenna because, you know, all I have to do is, like, put it up in one spot, and it's just pretty much just wire.
I was just trying to figure out why I couldn't hear you last night, or the other night, because I could hear Tom and I were talking, and but I should be able to talk to you because I have a Carolina Wyndham, and it has a vertical aspect to it, too. So it's, I can talk to people right here in the neighborhood if I want to.
I may play the aspect that my HF rig is not grounded yet, so I don't know if that would interfere with anything or not.
Make a difference. Y'all carry on. And I'm messing around at TA anyway. Trying to talk to a guy in Suriname. I've never even heard of the place. I'll have to find out where that is. All right. 73 is KB4CBA.
73's gonna have a good rest of your night. And, I'm forgetting the other station's call sign, but could I have your name and call sign again so I can get that down on my logbook?
The name here is Cade. That's Charlie Alpha Delta Echo. And the call sign here is Kilo Oscar 4 Victor Delta X-ray, KO4VDX.
Brought you down, and, you know, probably talk to you further on down the log, so it seems like there's not you know, very much young people on the air so far. I think you're the youngest person that has been on the air besides myself.
That goes same for you too. I believe you're definitely the youngest QSO I've ever had, which is really cool because I mean, of course, as you know, being well informed as you are, I mean, ham radio is, unfortunately, I don't want to say it's a dying hobby, but numbers definitely aren't what they used to. I had a uncle who's unfortunately passed away now that got me interested in the hobby. And, you know, like I said, there's less and less young people in the hobby every year. And those who have been in it for a long time, unfortunately, are passing away. So it's, oh man, it's just a breath of fresh air to hear young voice over the air. I'm actually being inducted into the Amateur Radio Club over at Clemson University, which is cool. I get to talk to some young operators there, use their ham shack up on Kite Hill, which is outstanding. But like I say, it's really nice to talk to a younger operator, especially a tech.
Well, hopefully I can, talk to a third party to this one boy. His dad is an operator, and he's 9, or no, he's 10, I think, and he's thinking about getting his license. And then there's a 15, another guy that I talked to, his son, who's 15, is getting ready to take his test. And then there's another guy, that boy that I talked to very far to, he's 14, and he's also thinking about getting into the hobby. Then I have a friend, she's 11, she's starting for a test, so if all of them follow through, we'll hopefully get some more youth on the air.
To hear, of course, at 19, I don't really have as much of a pulse as you do on younger people getting on the air. Of course, I mean, I don't know anybody other than the people at the Amateur Radio Club at Clemson who are interested in amateur radio at all, but to hear, you know, younger operators getting on the air is just, I mean, really just tickles me, to tell you the truth, because, I mean, I'll take a QSO with anybody, right? I'm not going to discriminate. I love amateur radio. It's an amazing hobby. I've only been in it for, let's see, got licensed mid-November, so really only been in it a month now, but I like to think I'm learning pretty fast. But on that antenna, going off of that antenna discussion you were having with the other gentleman, I don't recall his call sign, but you're definitely more well-informed than me, for sure. But, yeah, like I say, it's just awesome to hear younger people getting involved, especially when it's outside of, like, you know, groups, contesting groups and stuff like Yoda or whatever. It's just outstanding to hear younger people on the air.
You know, hopefully we can get some more younger people on the air because, yeah, I also will pretty much take anybody that I can talk to who's on the air. So, and hopefully, yeah, I don't really plan to stay a technician fairly long. As soon as I can get the book for the generals to study, I'll be starting for that, and I plan to eventually get extra.
Same here. I mean, like I said, I love CW on 40 meters, especially, but, you know, it does, to be honest with you, it does leave a little bit to be desired. And of course, you know, getting a beam and everything and a higher power rig, would, and having, you know, DX contacts and everything really would make me want to be on the phone or single sideband for sure. Especially, you know, outside of 40. So, definitely, like I said, scheduled to go take my general at the least in, early February and, hopefully, you know, it's an extra however many dollars it is for the test. I think when I took it, it was, I took it over and easily, I think it was $10 or $15. So, I mean, I feel pretty confident that I'm going to pass the general. I've been studying as diligently as school and everything allows for the general. And so hopefully I'll be passing the extra too, if I can.
Took my test. I did it online, and I was actually able to get in for free because the normal price was $10, and in fact, they were the cheapest online test. So they also offered fee exemptions for students, first responders, veterans, military, and youth. So, you know, I was able to get in for free, which was nice, and, you know, I'll probably just use the same organization to use to take my general and extra. So if you're a student at Clemson, you might be able to get in for free with them.
I hear about that that student exemption sounds pretty good. Could you give me the could you give me the name of the organization? Kilo Oscar 4 Victor Delta X-ray for ID.
Hello, let me just pull it up here. If you're familiar with hamstudy.org, I would pull them up, and that's how I signed up for my test, was through them, and they just have a list of all the online and in-person exams that you can do. So, yeah, I'll see if I can pull up here real quick.
VDX, standing by.
For VDX, this is KO4ULP.
For VDX, go ahead.
I pulled it up here, and it is is run by, I think, N7KSW, and the name is GLAARG. So I pretty much have it, you know, any day of the week you can find, and most of it is posted in Pacific time, so, you know, make sure you calculate the time before you schedule your test.
I think I got all that down. Hey, I really appreciate the info. You know, I mean, hey, I can't lie to you. Between buying the, you know, buying all the stuff for the hobby and, you know, dorm stuff and buying gas and everything to drive, you know, from Clemson to Travelers Rest and everything, being a college student, money's pretty tight. So, you know, I'll take deals wherever I can get them. I know there's I don't know what you would call it, sort of the keeping the testers accountable kind of thing, monitoring over webcam and cam and everything. I read this was in 2020. Granted, it's been a pretty long time since then, but I know that when they started doing virtual tests, the they were pretty stringent on the those requirements. I was wondering, since it's been sort of further down the line since then, what is the testing process like for those online tests?
Really, pretty simple. They actually didn't make me set up a separate webcam. They just made me show them the whole room, the ceiling, the floor, the walls, you know, what's on the desk, and they just went through all that, and then, you know, they just, it was actually not hard at all, and they're just a whole bunch of a nice group of testers on there. Well, almost. There's this one guy who just seemed, and he was really quiet and didn't seem that all that friendly, but the rest were really nice.
Yeah, that's definitely good information. I actually went and took my tech exam in an ice cream shop in Easley. It was pretty interesting. But, you know, I met probably four or five VEs there, and they were all, you know, just as friendly as can be. And I took a long time on that tech test, not because it was difficult, but just because I wanted to make sure I'd gotten everything right. And, man, in the time that it took me to sit down and fill out my forms and take the test, there's a fellow that came in after me who came in and zoomed, filled out all his forms and zoomed through all three, all the way up from unlicensed to extra. He was pretty prepared. Granted, he was, I don't want to say he was older, but, I mean, he wasn't particularly young. He was in his late 40s. He said he was a radio man in the Navy and had been licensed a while back, but had let it lapse. And so he just came back and zipped 1, 2, 3 through all of them in the time it took me to take just my tech. But, you know, I paid the money, and I didn't want to throw it away just because I was acting like I was in some kind of rush. I really wasn't. I had my schedule cleared out for that day, and so I definitely took my time.
I didn't really zoom through it either. I was nervous though, and you know, they are, you know, watching through the camera, and I had my water bottle sitting next to me, and I just could not take any sips of water. Just was so nervous, I felt like I just needed more water.
I get that for sure, because after I, you know, finished my test and closed the booklet and called the VE over there and said I was done, he said, okay, you know, I'll get this back to you. And 15 minutes, and we got it all checked out, and he went to a table behind me, so I couldn't exactly turn around and watch him grade my test. But I tell you, if that was 15 minutes, it was the longest 15 minutes of my whole life. It felt like 30 or 45. You better believe I must have read every poster, looked at every speck on the wall and the ceiling in that whole place, you know, twiddling my thumbs, bouncing my leg, waiting on that V to come back. And I was just like thinking the whole time, oh, what am I going to say if he says, you know, I failed? That's going to be embarrassing. Should I take it again? Should I go home and study more? You know, what do I do? But, so yeah, I spent most of my time thinking about that. And sure enough, he comes back. And man, he just about scared me half to death. Like you wouldn't believe. He comes over there and puts his hand on my shoulder. And I said, how'd I do? And he paused for a second, and I was like, oh man, my heart just sunk, you know, because I was almost certain he was going to say that I failed by, you know, however many. And he said, you passed. And I was like, I was just, you know, jawed at the floor. I was like, I passed? Really? He said, yeah, you passed by however many questions. I don't remember exactly what he said, but yeah, I was ecstatic, and I got my call either the next day or the day after. And I know a lot of people go for the vanity call pretty quickly, but something about my call sign, I really just love, you know, DX, meaning what it does and everything. I think having the suffix being VDX, I like that. It's kind of got a sharp sound to it.
About, you know, going for a vanity, but yeah, I kind of like my call sign because it's nice and quick and easy to say, you know, just kind of rolls off your tongue, but when I took my test, I was, you know, I scored like 288% in a row, and then my practice test, I think before I took my test, I scored like in the 60s percentage, so I wasn't sure if I was going to pass or not, but I turned out that I did pass. I'm not sure how much I passed by, but because, you know, I didn't really ask for that information because I just passed and, you know, I didn't really, I had the option of them, you know, emailing my test results, but like, I don't know why I didn't say yes, but I was just so excited and just like, okay, I passed. I don't really think that, but I don't really know how much I got right or wrong.
I mean, I'm definitely in the same boat as you. I was just so excited to have finally passed my test, that, you know, I was like, you know, as soon as he said you passed, you know, I was like, tunnel vision, man. I was just like, oh, thank God, you know, just relieved. And, yeah, I'll tell you, when you pass that test, you know, especially being interested in radio for so long and just listening, it's just like, oh man, I wish I could transmit. I wish I could, you know, participate in the Aries Net or whatever. Da 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 da. This, that, or the other. Hearing DX stations and stuff on HF, and you know, you finally take the test and get your license. And I tell you, I just about walked out of there. You know, I was about jumped up and clicked my heels. I was just on cloud nine, really. And, you know, radio, only been in it a month, but been interested a lot longer than that. I don't even remember when I got interested in radio. Like I told you, it came from my late uncle, and, you know, he got me interested in it. And, it's a fun hobby and useful too, you know, with this, makes you think about emergency preparedness and stuff, you know, with this, especially with this winter weather we got coming tomorrow. I think it's a little overblown. I don't think it's going to be all that bad, but, you know, hey, maybe it is. And I know that my MCOMs and stuff are, oh, I got all my antennas up, you know, seem to get reliably up into Maine and stuff on HF, and got a running a ICOM 2730A at 50 watts. To get through all the repeaters and stuff. So, yeah, I think I'm pretty set in the event that it does, anything happens that's too bad. And of course, the both these I can run portable if need be.
So when I heard that siren, I kind of got excited. Like, am I actually gonna be able to help in an emergency situation here, help the community of some sort? But it didn't turn out to be anything. But it just I listened for a long time before I got my license. Eventually, I listened on a little 5-watt Bofang since January and got my license in November. So I listened for a while, and that was the thought that I really had my interest in radio, and I still do. But it's just so nice to be able to have a ham radio license, and there's so much you can do.
Get the one to help with emergency sentiment and everything. I'm actually a criminal justice major at Clemson. I'm only a freshman, so Lord knows that could change. I mean, well over half of the student body ends up changing their majors, but I was that interested in helping people and everything. I hope to go in law enforcement or law, either way. But if you plan on getting a job in law enforcement, there's a pay bonus that comes with having the degree out of the gate. A few extra grand a year don't hurt. Especially with all the price surges and everything that have been happening since COVID and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I heard that. I had just come back from a trip to Panama City in Florida, and I had the ICOM in the truck and with a mag mount antenna. So I had just picked it back up and brought it back out here to the shack. Sure enough, I turned it on. I heard that characteristic Baofeng alarm button on the side, and I knew somebody pushed the wrong button or was just just goofing off or whatever. And I heard you come back on it, and that kind of caught me by surprise, just by chance. I didn't come in the door, 10 seconds. 10 seconds later, I wouldn't have caught you.
Hearing that siren does answer a question, because I've always wondered on those buttons, if you do press it, will actually transmit a siren. Well, apparently it does. So if this winter weather does come in, I also have my both my handhelds ready. So if the power goes down, I have battery backup with my handhelds too.
Not on my handhelds, on the charger. I don't have anything fancy for handhelds. They're all, Bofangs, various flavors, I guess you could say. I don't have any, no Kenwood or ICOMs or Yaesu's or whatever. Although I was in Ham Radio Outlet the other day in HRO in Atlanta, and man, I got a chance to play with the used FT3DR that they had out, and man, those Yaesu's are pretty cool. Those handhelds are getting, pretty advanced and stuff. And they had, of course, FT3DR is analog only, but I've never really messed in DMR too much, and the price has been a big barrier for me for DMR and stuff. People have invited me to join their digital nodes and stuff, but I never really had a way to, because cheapest you can get a DMR handheld for under $120 that I'm aware of. And I spend money on the ICOM and the antenna for it, and antennas for it, and power supply and the G90 and the NFED and the power supply for that. So I've never really gotten a DMR or anything too fancy on the handhelds, because essentially everywhere I'm going, I got the 2730 with VHF UHF. And like I said, occasionally do portable with the G90, and I just take down the long wire and take it with me. I've got it to where I can probably go from it being in the tree outside the shack to you know, coiled up in the truck in less than 15 minutes. So, yeah, I just got nothing fancy on handhelds, but I'd say a nicer handheld is probably going to be my next purchase, hopefully. This is Kilo Oscar 4, Victor Delta X-Ray.
PVH90. Yeah, I also have a, you know, not expensive handheld. The one's a 5-watt Bofeng, and the other one's a 10-way radio, and it runs off of, you know, 10 watts, so it's a little bit more power. So, and then have about 4 antennas for handhelds.
I've always loved messing around with antennas and stuff, whether it's, I mean, HF is, I mean, he's certainly getting to some pretty complex stuff on HF antennas, you know, experimenting and doing radials and grounding and, you know, different configurations for wires and that kind of thing, and, you know, seeing how I can get out with a dipole versus a long wire or random wire and that kind of thing. I've messed around with it, but that in. I got a, 80 or 85 feet infed long wire, and I can get out pretty good, especially when I, you know, get up on the hill for soda or whatever. I found I can get out satisfactorily on that. I'm, you know, like I say, up into out west and up north mostly is where I normally go for. So, yeah, I've got, you know, All kinds of antennas. You know, those SMA antennas are, I mean, they're a dime a dozen, and they got all kinds of varieties, whether it's the signal sticks or the Nagoyas or, you know, those like portable man pack antennas that are just made from a folded up tape measure, heat shrinked. Those are pretty funny. But I tell you, people hate on the rubber duck antenna on those Baofengs, but I found it's pretty good. It's got decent gain, and everything seems to come in pretty clear when I use the rubber duck. When I'm carrying around the bag or whatever, it's got the rubber duck on it, and I just got an assortment with me. The Nagoya 771, I think. You can correct me on that if I'm wrong. Is a good standby antenna, but you got to be careful not to get the fake ones, of course. But yeah, the 771s are pretty good, but I mean, a rubber duck gives the Nagoya a run for its money on those handhelds, in my opinion.
So, I have two, I don't know what you call a rubber duck antenna. It's about 6 inches length or less. Or more, I don't know. And I have one antenna. It's pretty neat. It came with my 10-watt handheld, and it folds down, and then you have a Velcro strap, and you can un-Velcro strap, and it folds up. So, you know, it's only about a foot and a half, 2 feet maybe, but maybe 2 feet. And then I also have another antenna that's for a handheld. It's about foot or more, and it's just, you know, a wire doesn't fold or anything, and yeah, but I do have my eye on antenna that I'm thinking about maybe getting that it folds down, and you can have the Velcro strap on it just like my other one here, but it's 3 feet long, so, you know, it's just but the rubber duck, you don't seem to do that bad, in all honesty.
Yeah, like I said, the rubber duck that just comes with it, it's really a pretty good antenna. But the, I can't think of the name now, but it's another Nagoya mag mount. I think it's got, it's for my truck, got at least 10 dB of gain, omnidirectional, and that's great. One thing I love doing when I'm up doing sodas is getting on VHF calling frequency, 146, and just calling out monitoring and everything, and just seeing who I can get. Because, man, when you get up on that hill, It's like you wouldn't believe how many people monitor 146 until you get up there on the hill and call for it. My first ever Q cell was actually from the shack right here on 146-520. So, and he was mobile in Greenville, and just happened to be monitoring on the way home from work or whatever. It was, what was it called? W4NGU, I believe. And yeah, he was just monitoring, and I was calling out. I was monitoring on Simplex, and sure enough, he came back and was my. Having your first ever QSO on VHF Simplex is really cool, because, as you know, I mean, it can be pretty challenging to get out very far without repeaters and stuff. And I mean, if it weren't for the base station antenna and everything mounted up as high as I've got it mounted, you know, I'm sure I never would have got out. And it doesn't hurt that we kind of live on a hill anyway, so hill plus the antenna on top of the barn gets me out pretty good on Simplex.
Hey, the only way of contacting someone on Simplex is I contacted on the repeater first, and then we switched over to Simplex, and I haven't got anybody on Simplex. I guess nobody monitors on Simplex, but I guess there's a few out there. Once I try, you know, putting a mag mount, about 6-inch antenna, on the roof of the car and running the coaxial cable down to my 5-watt handheld, and I monitored on the national calling frequency for like 4 hours. That's went up to Tennessee, and I didn't get anything, and I monitored there and back, and I got what static like once, and then I heard one guy calling another guy, but and then after he didn't get that guy, I called and he didn't come back to me, so you know, I didn't really get anybody on Simplex that was not arranged yet.
That I do a lot of, I always monitor on the calling frequency, and I barely ever get anybody. I believe in all the time I've been on there, I probably cumulatively I've probably monitored at least 12 hours, you know, over days and weeks, and I believe I've only ever had 2 QSOs on there, and they were, I mean, the fella in Greenville really wasn't TR, but the other QSO I had a few weeks ago was from Travelers Rest. It was just before Christmas, and I was over in the Blue Ridge area, and I was up on the hill with the mag mount, just driving around. And I was monitoring probably every 5 or 10 minutes. And sure enough, I had somebody call me back. I had a nice stop, pulled over, had a nice little QSO with them. Had a nice QSO with them. And, I love Simplex. I mean, repeaters are repeaters, right? They're pretty reliable, generally. And if you have a decent setup, you can get in pretty reliably. So, but Simplex, like I said about, CW on HF is just like good old-fashioned radio, in my opinion. I love when I can get somebody on Simplex, for sure.
Yes, you know, when I'm on the air, pretty much on this repeater, because it seems the second most active repeater that I can hit. There's the one on Mount Mitchell is just... I necessarily don't enjoy it as much because there's, I don't necessarily seem as welcoming as the people on the Sears Head repeater, and, you know, I just prefer, you know, the people on Sears Head repeater, because my first contact was on this repeater, and I've built relationships on this repeater.
I got, probably maybe 20 repeaters, programmed into the radio. None of them names, of course, they're just frequencies. I haven't gotten around to naming them. This is the W4NYK repeater on Caesar's Head, right? And it's Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society operated.
That would be correct, and there's just a whole bunch of nice people on this repeater, and It's just a wonderful repeater, in my opinion.
I don't, I actually don't use it much, really. I don't know why it was pulled up on, it's towards the back of my save list on here, but I'll definitely make sure to, I'll make sure to bump it up back up there towards the front. One repeater I'm on a lot, with very little success, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure I'm on it so much, is the SC Hart repeater on top of Paris Mountain. They link it up on the weekends, and it's a statewide repeater system, and they do the Aries Net. I check into every Sunday at 8, and but I'll tell you, when that repeater, you can manually link the repeater, and always get a lot of traffic from, or hear a lot of traffic from Columbia and from North Myrtle Beach area, but man, when it's not linked and it's just solely in the in this area, I don't believe I've ever had a Q cell on that repeater. I don't believe I've had a one when it wasn't linked. I've had a good few on when they're fully linked across the state, but never just when they're not linked.
I've monitored a good bit of the repeaters around here, and just there's one repeater, and I believe it's here in TR, but the only problem is it seems really active, but for some reason my radio just is not letting me access it, my handheld or my base station. That they're both programmed with this, like, the same software, like the same everything, so I don't know, maybe something's wrong.
Just out of curiosity, if you remember, what repeater is that, or what are the frequencies? I've got the computer pulled up here, I could look it up on repeater book.
Well, the problem is, my radio tells me the name of the repeater, and I believe it's like Echo, or like it's abbreviated on my radio as like ECO or something like that. I'm not sure exactly the frequency.
Worries there. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. My family has a beach home down in Panama City, so I get to go down there a lot. And I'll tell you, you don't realize how blessed we are around here in the upstate to have as many repeaters as we do until you go down to somewhere like Bay County in Florida. There is two, I believe, in the whole county, one or two. And I tell you, Greenville County, you go on repeater book or whatever, it's just loaded. And I believe that one of the two in Bay County is a system of constantly linked statewide repeaters in Florida, and I got on there and monitored a few times and talked a little bit, but I just didn't care for it, really. I don't want to say anything rude, but it's kind of CB-ish, you know, kind of good old boys club, just sort of really super blown out audio, you know. Really poor readability. Just, you know, hanging up the repeater for 2 or 3 hours at a time, talking about, you know, a whole bunch of nothing or anything, not clearing for any other frequencies. It's just steady back and forth. So I didn't care for it too much. The link system here through SC Hart up on top of Paris Mountain is, or that's how I get into it at least. They got repeaters all over the state. I find the atmosphere to be a lot more friendly there, but pretty sparse, honestly. People in there seem to be a little bit shy, because when the AriesNet happens, Sundays at 8, there must be at least 100 people that check in. But, you know, if you say you're monitoring when the whole state's linked up, you might talk to one or two people. You know, so either they're a little shy, or they all turn on the radios at 8 to check into the net. I'm not quite sure.
You know, I found, you know, this repeater, I said, very very friendly and welcoming, you know. Some people have very, on this repeat that I've met, kindly helped me out and, you know, equipping me with radios and antennas, but it's about time I sign off here, so I really did enjoy talking with you, and if you're on this repeater or more, you'll probably catch me around the evening, and just let you know, it was a wonderful pleasure talking with you. This is KO4ULP, and I'll be clear after your final.
I got to get going, too. I got some stuff to take care of ahead of the storm. I hope to pull the generators out and get them cranked out just in case, you know, the power goes out or whatever. I got a main auxiliary power connection on the outside of the house, or I can just plug the generator right in. And got to get some firewood up to the house and a few other things. So, hey, I really enjoyed the QSO, and I will definitely move this repeater up to spot number one on my save, because I tell you, credit where credit's due, this has got to be out of the probably 50 or 75 QSOs I've had in the past month, this has got to be probably the best, or not probably the best, it is the best, I'll tell you. I really enjoyed it, had some good conversation, and I appreciate you coming back to me. It's kind of funny that it happened over that little Baofeng alarm, but yeah, I hope to see you further down and from Kilo Oscar 4 Victor Delta X-Ray to Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Lima Papa. Big 73s to you, and I'll be clear.